Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and many are those who enter by it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and few are those who find it. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 through 14. We've been talking about for the last few weeks about the straight and narrow way from the Sermon on the Mount, recorded for us in the book of Matthew, chapters 5, 6, and 7. The greatest preacher and teacher that ever existed taught the greatest sermon that was ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount. And we've been talking about just the beginning part of that sermon and the great applications that we can make to our own lives and our character, the attitudes, dispositions that we are to have. I'd like for us to continue to think about the idea that this particular passage addresses for us the idea of blessedness or happiness. And I guess all of us want to be happy. We're searching for that. We want that. But unfortunately, so many times we look for it in all the wrong places. Here Jesus talks to us about some simple truths that will help us to be happy, that is, blessed in this life. What Jesus has to say about this has to do with this straight and narrow way. And suffice it to say that the way to heaven is not easy. So are you really happy? Serving the Lord and being happy is a wonderful, wonderful blessing. But it's difficult. And today we're going to look at verse 8 of chapter 5. When Jesus said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Today we're not going to be talking about the physical heart, the blood pump. We're going to be talking about the biblical heart, the spiritual heart. And that is the seat of our emotions, the seat of our intellect, our inspiration, and the control of all of our actions. It is the wise man in Proverbs that says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." So, what that means is that whatever we are as a person, whatever you do, it comes from the heart. I think when we stop to consider the fact of our hearts, we might look at this, "Blessed are the pure in heart." What is it talking about exactly, pure in heart? Well, first of all, I think it is not talking about perfect, righteous living. Because we cannot live perfectly in the sense of sinlessly. It's not talking about our purity in a forgiven heart. But what it is talking about is purity of a single-minded devotion. And that has to do with, as someone has rightly said, it is a blessed are the utterly sincere. We also might consider that idea, and we'll say this again, the idea of being totally committed to God. Blessed are the sincere in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are those who are totally committed in heart, they shall see God. Blessed are the pure in heart. So as we stop to consider this idea of being sincere, being of a purity of heart, in that we have a total 100% commitment to God, happiness is giving God all of your heart. All of your heart. I think all of us are quite familiar with ourselves and or others that we have known, whether it's in family, it's in work, it's in school, who really don't give it their best. They have talent. They have ability. They have strength. But they don't give it their all. They're just kind of. Many have a very shallow view of what it really means to serve God with all of their heart. Many of us look at serving God with all of our hearts as really just a checklist of a bunch of do's and don'ts. And probably most of us concentrate on the don'ts. Well, here are all the don'ts. And we can look up scriptures where there are don'ts that are listed. And I don't steal, and I don't murder, and I don't lie, so therefore, I'm of a pure heart. And then some, maybe would even suggest there are a bunch of do's. And you can look up a number of passages in scriptures, and we do this, and we do that. Well, I go to church every Sunday. I do try to help my fellow man. And I do try to be a good husband, and I do try to be a good wife. But I would suggest to us that there's just more to it than that. No, I'm not going to say this morning, and don't want anybody to leave today saying, well, the preacher says that the don'ts and the do's are not really that big a deal. They are a great big deal. But that's not all there is to being pure in heart. We're not going to see God, and I think see God obviously has to do with ultimately spending eternity with God. There are don'ts, and there are do's. But what more is there than that? Let me ask you a question. Why are you here today? And if you answer, well, because I'm supposed to, you've missed the point of verse 8. Now someone says, no, wait a minute, preacher. You preach all the time about don't forsake the assembly. Yeah, that's a don't, isn't it? We're supposed to come to church and eat the Lord's Supper. That's right, that's a do, isn't it? And you might say, well, I don't forsake the assembly. I do come and eat the Lord's Supper. And bless you. But that's not what this passage is talking about. This passage is not talking about the don'ts and the do's. It's talking about the why. Why are you here today? I think some of us may be here today, well, because God said to. Is that a good thing? Yes. And if you're honest with yourself, maybe some of you have experienced that if you're not here, that somebody's going to text you, somebody's going to call you, somebody's going to visit you, somebody's going to speak to you, and they're going to say, we missed you. So you kind of become weary of the texts, the calls, the visits, or whatever, and so you say, look, I just don't want them bugging me anymore about it. I'll just show up and I'll get them off my back. Is that why you're here? Maybe there is someplace else you had really rather be. You're here because of your spouse. You're here because of your parents. You're here because of your children, your grandchildren. And you want to save face and make a good showing. Well, is that a good thing? Yes. But what about this passage? You see, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God, is a whole lot more than do's and don'ts. Are you here because you love the Lord with all of your heart? Are you here today because you want to come together as God's people? And you, from your heart, are so genuinely thankful and grateful for His love, for His forgiveness, and your hope of heaven that what you want to do, you want to thank Him, you want to praise Him, you want to remember His Son, and you want to give honor to God from your heart, all that you've got. Are you just waiting for a long sermon so you can go home? Are you here to eat the Lord's Supper and it's become sacramental to you? You've eaten the Eucharist and you go home. You see, that's a heart issue. There's a lot of people that cross the T's and dot the I's with the do's and the don'ts, but there may be only a few that really do so from the heart because of their love for God. I want you to notice with me a passage of Scripture, and that's in Luke chapter 21. I think this probably for me is such a wake-up call to reality. In Luke 21, beginning at verse 1, "And he," that is Christ, "looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the treasury." This would have been at the women's court, and this would have been a voluntary offering for the upkeep of the temple. Not even a requirement. It was not a "thou shalt do this." It's voluntarily. "And he saw a certain poor widow putting in 2 small copper coins. And he said, 'Truly I say to you, this poor widow put in more than all of them, for they all out of their surplus put into the offering. But she out of her poverty put in all that she had to live on.'" Can we basically conclude from this story that this woman was not there to impress anybody? Can we conclude that this woman came to give all that she had to live on because she wanted to, not because she had to? The question is, why did she do that? Well, you see, there were other people that gave a lot of money and they're rich and they had a lot left over. Jesus noticed all of that. But he notices this widow. And what's really, really important that we understand is that man may see what you do. They might see what you do. And some people do it to be seen. I think the implication in this text is the contrast between this widow who gives all that she has in a free will offering, and there are others who are rich and giving all of this money, and there was some kind of pride or a show being demonstrated there, but not by this woman. You see, God above, He sees all you do. But there's something else about God that man does not know. And that's why. So, man may see what you do, but God sees all you do and why you did it. Is it important why you did it? At the end of this lesson, we will, as we normally do, extend what is referred to as the Lord's invitation. And someone may come forward and they want to be baptized into Christ. Does it make a difference as to the intent of that obedience? Someone may even come forward this morning and ask for the prayers of the church and want us to pray with them and for them. Does the intent of the heart have anything to do with that? And yet, if someone is to be baptized today or someone makes a public correction today, you and I will not know the intent. "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God," is the intent. People do things for a lot of crazy reasons. sometimes hypocritically so. Not this woman. This widow. What other possible answer could there be that she gave because she trusted God and loved Him more than anything else? In Matthew 15 and verse 8, a similar statement is made by our Lord, quoting from the old law. We find that Jesus says, "This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me." You see, it's very difficult to preach a lesson like this because we're talking about people's intentions. We're talking about their hearts. We're talking about what I can't see, what you can't see in other people. I only know my own. Now, I know your heart if you tell me, but if you don't tell me, I'm guessing. And we're warned about that guessing. Matthew 7, in the sermon, Jesus said, "Judge not that you be not judged." A person's look doesn't always demonstrate what their heart is thinking. Have you ever seen a person laugh, but you know inside their heart was broken? Have you ever seen someone cry, but inside you know that their heart is happy? You see, the outward can be somewhat deceptive. I might pretend to be holy and righteous and good, and I may be the loudest singer, and I may be the most go-to-church person there is. Does that automatically mean that my heart is pure? No. But who knows that? God. And God only. So who is the ones who are going to see God? Only the pure in heart. Brother and sister in Christ, that's a wake-up call for me and that's a wake-up call for you. Because it's not what you do on the outside alone that counts. Probably have spent way too much time in the 4+ years that I've been here talking about coming to church. You know, people that are pure in heart and want to see God, you don't have to tell them to go to church. Ever. Ever. Because they already got that made up in their mind and committed. So I would just ask the simple question, if you have a hard time getting to church because you do other things that you think are more important, does that not say something about your heart? You see, John 4:24, Jesus said, "God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth." I want us to practice truth. I want us to make sure we cross the T's and dot the I's. I want us to make sure we do explicitly what God says do. I want us to be extra careful to make sure that we don't do the things we're not supposed to do. But brother and sister in Christ, that is just the surface of being a Christian. Not that it's not important. It is important. But you can do all of the do's and the don'ts, and if your heart is not right, you will not see God. You can fool some of the people some of the time. But you can't fool all the people all the time. I'm not sure this is a part of that saying, but you could add this. You can't fool God anytime. God knows. As I quoted from J.B. Phillips a while ago, "Blessed are the utterly sincere." You know, I'm afraid that in our day and time, those who are utterly sincere, those that are just totally committed to Jesus Christ, they come across as a do-gooder. They come across as a holier-than-thou. Why? Why is that? Because I'm convinced that one that really has a pure heart and that serves God from that kind of commitment, they stand out like a sore thumb. They're really obvious. And so many times that is so against the norm. And you know, most people don't like to be showed up. Most people don't like to be pointed out. But when there is a person that is genuinely pure in heart, you notice it quite apparently. This strikes home to me. It goes deep into who I am as a Christian. There's been many a preacher that preached for the money, preached for the fame, whatever that might be, preached for the power, whatever that is. And they don't last very long. Would you take one that is devoted to God as this poor widow was? They're going to be there through the thick and the thin regardless. They're going to be serving the Lord regardless of what anybody else does or says. You see, if you really have made up your mind that you want to see God, and if you want to be happy in this life, you must be committed to God with all of your heart. That is the whole point of the law and the prophets. Jesus said in Matthew 22, which is the first great commandment, loving the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. What is that? Let's put a three line, mathematical people, three line. What's on the other side? What is absolutely equal to that? A pure heart. Those who have a pure heart, who obeyed the gospel as Philip said to the eunuch, here's what hinders you from being baptized. Unless you come and obey with all of your heart. You're either all in or you're out. And I'm fearful for us, brethren, that we've become so used to showing a charade, putting on a smiley face for an hour or two, and our hearts are far from Him. And I don't have a clue as to who I'm talking to. But I will tell you, the lesson is for everybody. If you're an elder, if you're a deacon, if you're an elder's wife, a deacon's wife, if you're a preacher's wife, if you're just a member in the pew, make sure you practice the do's and don'ts. But make sure you get your heart right with God. Committed to God with all of your heart. That's the challenge for all of us today. Well, that's what I come to tell you. And no, I didn't tell Phil I had a long sermon today. I just didn't want long announcements, so I get blamed for the being late. By way of invitation this morning, well, if you obeyed the gospel, if you've been baptized into Christ, let me tell you, I will encourage you. I will do all I can to motivate you to obey the gospel. But please understand this. Unless you're going to give God all of your heart and really, really be committed to it, then don't do it. If you've obeyed the gospel, you've been baptized into Christ, and you have not been what you ought to be, probably only you and the Lord know that. If you need to turn your life around, you need to do that today. If you need the prayers of the church, we're here to pray with you. And just so everybody understands, we probably should offer a prayer right after the invitation for all of us, because probably most of our hearts are not all of that pure. We could do better. We could do more. I hope it motivates you to do more. I hope it motivates me to be better. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. I want to see God. Do you? Then maybe we need to clean ourselves up. The song of encouragement is selected. Won't you come as we stand and sing?